Pentecost Sunday. What a business. We got a fiery bird, as Melissa pointed out, the dove. I was thinking about Pentecost, and I was thinking, Melissa, stand up and do that. Show everybody. Stand up. Turn around and show them. Show them, what is that? Turn around so everybody can see you a second, dear. She knows what it is. See that? It's a big chicken. There's the dove, huh? Good job, Melissa. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. She's teaching me all the time. How many of you have been to Grand Junction, know the Grand Junction area a little bit? You might have gone there, and you might have gotten to see the Colorado National Monument. I have a shot of it there. That's one of the canyons. I'm not sure which, but when you grow up over there, you're just used to having it there, and you might have a couple hours out of the afternoon. You don't know what to do. You drive over the monument, and when it's out of season, it's free, which is one of the precursors. During the summer, it's a little less enjoyable because you have to pay some money to get in and what have you, but it's a beautiful place and beautiful vistas, and here are the swooping hawks that are floating and soaring and doing all these beautiful things, and they're below you because you're so high up on the edge of the canyon walls. Beautiful stuff. My mom and dad told me a story. They went there several years ago before we lost them, and mom was standing there, the railing, and looking out across it, and she says to my dad, whose name is Carl, she says, Carl, isn't this beautiful? She says, my goodness, she says, the hair is just standing up on my arms. And he paused a second and realized that there were storm clouds and that the hair standing up on our arms was not just excitement. It was static electricity that was building up. He grabbed her and they made for the car pronto before either of them got struck by fire from the heavens, lightning. Tongues as of fire rested on each of them. I was going to do a special effect for the congregation, but then I thought, I don't know about how many electrocutions are safe, you know, and how many heart pacemakers and smartphones would be fried with all of that. But there is a thing in our world besides lightning called St. Elmo's fire. Have you ever heard of St. Elmo's fire? This is a picture from a jet airliner. I guess it's fairly common. But there's a definition is a luminous plasma which is created by a coronal discharge. Sailors encountered it on the masts on their ships. They'd be sailing through a storm and there'd be these tongues as of fire spewing off from the ends of the spars and what have you. And so they named it St. Elmo. Is that the patron saint of sailors? Who knows? Fishermen, sailors, anybody know your patron saints? I do not. But here we are celebrating tongues as of fire descending upon us. Is it a unique environment? I don't know. The Holy Spirit coming down upon the people, has that ever happened? Do you suppose they were terrified when the tongues as of fire descended upon them? I know another time when there were some people that were terrified. The shepherds were in their fields watching over their flocks. And the heavenly manifestation was upon them, and they were terrified. And the angel said, fear not, for we are coming to bring glad tidings. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, 'tis Christ the King. Any of you heard that from somewhere in the past? You might have heard that passage somewhere. Before we leave this speaking about lightning and St. Elmo's fire and things like that, it's just a public service announcement here that if you are ever in an area where you can't take appropriate cover from lightning, this is real. I'm not playing a joke on you here, but you're supposed to put your feet together and your knees together and crouch down a little bit. And that's the safest thing you can do. I don't know all of the science on that, but it reminded me of something. Stephanie, there you go. She's got the slide already. She's reading my mind. Did you see that? Crouching down as in prayer. And if you were in a lightning storm and couldn't get anything, that might be exactly the best thing for you to be doing. But a prayerful attitude upon the reception of the Spirit listening, shutting down all the distractions, shutting out our agendas, putting aside the plans for what's coming up this week and what we have to get done and what we have to remember, and putting all of those agenda things aside and shutting out our fears and attempting to pause and comprehend these tongues as a fire, the Spirit descending upon us. You want to be in on that? It was not optional. All of them were filled with the Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. All of them. That means all of us. Now, some of us, if you're like me, are thinking, and I don't remember getting this memo at all. I'm not sure that I have all these answers, and I certainly cannot speak. I can barely speak English, and I speak bad English only. Nalu speaks two languages. Do you speak Spanish too? No. Tongan and English, that's a wonderful thing. Paya, I don't know if you knew that Paya was actually a legal translator for a long time. They would fly her to different court trials where it was necessary to have the Tongan language interpreted legally. I can only speak, as I said, bad English, and I try and get by. So here we are, and we have all been filled with the Holy Spirit, given this insight and this understanding. But it says also in the Scripture, there are things, Jesus said to him, there are things that you cannot comprehend at this time that I will help you comprehend later. And I thought about that, and I tried to put myself in the mind of the people who were there at Jesus, within his first generation of Jesus, and thinking about them. Think about their life view. They didn't know anything about bacterias or viruses or physical therapy, or they knew about taxes. Taxes, that's another story. We won't go down that path. But their comprehension was limited, and their understanding, ability to understand, their worldview of the heavens and the earth and what was orbiting which. And you remember Galileo got into all kinds of trouble about that. All of the lack of ability to comprehend because of their limited world views. I'm always fascinated when I read a scripture that refers to leviathans. Have you ever heard of a leviathan? They knew of leviathans from their sailoring. These huge creatures that lived deep in the ocean. They didn't know much about them, but some sailors had seen these huge, incredible things. Can you imagine being in a small sailing boat and a whale come alongside? I don't know if anybody has been on one of those whale-watching cruises. I'd be a little nervous. Was it nerve-wracking, Shelley Rayburn, or no? Or it was fun, all right. I would want to wave and say, thank you, stay there. I'll stay over here. Keep my distance. Of course, you're probably on board a ship. I was thinking a kayak or a canoeist. I would be a little hesitant. But their worldview was limited, and I have to stop and think, 100 years from now, they're going to look back on us, and what are they going to shake their heads and say? They didn't know anything about these things. I remember that. As I look at my smartphone, I think, when I graduated from high school, the concept of walking around with a computer that you could talk to people through them, video with each other, take pictures of things, do all the... Yeah, that's never going to happen. Well, we comprehend 100 years from now. I don't know. And that's why Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Some of those had to do with the resurrection and all that they would begin to understand after Jesus had left him. Are we able to hear all those things? Is humanity finally ready to hear what God has to say to us through the Holy Spirit? I think it's going to be less about what humanity is about and what humanity is ready to hear, and it's going to be more about individuals being ready. Isn't that an interesting thought? I mean, if Jesus had come today, he could just get on Twitter and Snapchat and the internet and spread his worldwide message so fast. And somehow he didn't do that, and wouldn't do that. You see, because society won't be able to hear until individuals hear. The communication of all that the Holy Spirit has to share with us is heart to heart, person to person, individual to individual. And this is where we hear this word utterance. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. All the countries of the world then are listed, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and all of those places. They're naming the entire known world. And these who have received the Spirit are speaking in the languages of each. Native speakers, given them utterance, ability to speak that way. And sometimes we think, how can that possibly be the case? These languages of all the world, again, I can get a few of them. Nalu, tell me how to say hello in Tongan one more time. Malo elehe. Malo elehe. Elele? Yeah, see, I butcher it there, just like I butcher it. Thank you, brother. But we're hearing, I can say aloha, hola, a couple, bonjour. Some of those words in French and English, Spanish, and don't get me started on Mandarin or Thai or all of the other languages. But when we begin to speak from the heart, we don't need language. There's a whole different thing that becomes here. We begin to speak about acceptance versus rejection and discrimination. We begin to speak about compassion instead of competition. We begin to speak about sharing instead of greed. We begin to speak about us instead of me. So the languages of love, think about that. All the ways to say love, I looked that up too, and I don't see Tongan up there, Nalu, but if we tried to get all the languages of the world on that one screen, it would be really tiny print anyway. And I'm not just talking about French and Spanish and Latin, and I'm talking about languages of peace and war, and understanding what peace really means, and speaking from the heart about love and giving away hate. Society is never going to get there with any of these. Society is never going to make any progress until we as individuals make that progress. Do we understand that? Society seems to push some things in a certain direction, but until each individual, as we as a whole, begin to understand and accept the Holy Spirit within us, speaking and hearing what Jesus says to us and sharing what Jesus says to us, it is not going to happen. So today we celebrate Pentecost and the fire upon us. The fire descended as in flames upon each of us. And we can think about St. Elmo's fire, the sparks and flames, the lightning, the sparks in the trees, and the importance of all of these tongues as a fire descending. Can we understand that Christ has love for all of our neighbors and share that same love that he has, all that love that God has for all of God's children? And can we begin to understand there is no conquest through force or might or means or richness or wealth? There are only conquests of the human heart. And they are not conquests, but transformations. Last couple of sermons, I've been talking about fruit and the fruit that we bear. Yesterday at Betty Lutkus's service, I looked around at their families, sons and grandsons and great-grandchildren. and the smiles and the joy that was all a part of that family. And you could see the fruit that she bore in that family. This is where we will be tested by the fruit we bear. And we bear that fruit as we listen to the Spirit within us and speak with the voice that the Spirit gives us to everyone we meet and share the love of God. Tongues as a fire resting upon all of God's people. Amen.